All right. Well, what's that make you think of? Court. Exactly. All right. Now, have any of you ever been subpoenaed to be in court? Yeah, I serve on a jury. Okay. Anybody actually served on a jury? Okay. All right. And if you served on a jury, when the court started and they asked somebody to take a stand, what were they there for? To be a witness. Will a witness take the stand? Now, what would you expect from a witness? Truth. Okay. And, you know, who would make a good witness? Depending on what the situation of the crime was. What'd you say, Steve? Somebody who was there. You're a good witness because you saw it. You lived through it. You're an eyewitness. You're credible. You didn't hear somebody, you know, like Brother Benny was there and he talked to Steve and I talked to Steve, so I'm going to testify as to what happened. What? That's not going to work. Does the Bible tell us anything about witnesses and accusations? Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity." I was kind of surprised to read that. "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." So one man can't be pitted against another, or should not be pitted against another. Okay. What does the Bible say about the witness says at Jesus' trial? A little bit different perspective there. Mark chapter 14, verse 55. "And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together." See, even the lost folks realize the value of the first part. Why do you have two witnesses? So their story can be collaborated. "For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying," need all of it there, artist, "we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together." So even lost folks understand the value and the standards that are provided in a true witness. So our text then this morning, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." So as we have become so fond to do to help our understanding, we dissect and define. A true or trustworthy witness or testifier delivereth or recovers souls. Our witness recovers souls. "But a deceitful or fraudulent witness or testifier speaketh lies or falsehoods." So the text here is very clear. God has a plan, and he wanted to establish early on what truth was, which also forms the foundation for holiness, righteousness, and justice. In simple terms, it makes a distinction between good and evil. His plan from the start was and is to deliver the souls of men from hell, not to send them to it. His plan has a key component, and that component is that Christians play an active part in that plan. We're going to spend a few minutes this morning looking at what a witness should be and should not be. And the best way to understand something is to see what it is and what it is not. So let's spend some time examining together what the purpose of a witness is and what it is not. Whoops. Keep up with the stuff, artists. All right. Please call your witness. God's purpose for Christ's earthly resurrection was to make a witness. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 26. To set the context here, Paul is being examined by King Agrippa. And Paul is describing the wonderful event of his conversion on the Damascus Road. And in that description conveys clearly what Christ himself told Paul was his specific purpose. Paul understood and believed Christ had given him a job or responsibility, and Paul took that job or responsibility seriously. Of the things which they have seen, Acts chapter 26, verse 15 says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, he being Christ, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet." This is the part that we're after. "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a what? Witness both of these things which thou hast seen," and we'll get to the rest later in just a second. "The things which thou hast seen." Now, what kind of things did Paul see? First of all, well, what did he do before he was converted on the road to Damascus? He persecuted the Christians, right? He was a Jew. He was a powerful Jew. And he had been given papers, given the authority to go kill Christians. So think about what he saw. He saw faithful Christians that were not afraid to face death, to face the fear that he brought them. He watched them die. He saw what they were really. What an eyewitness. He saw what faith can do in a real Christian. That was before he was even converted. After he was saved, and what a miraculous thing that was, right? A blinding light, getting blinded himself, taken to a town, and realizing, I'm persecuting God. And then, after he was saved, he got to be one of the few folks that had the opportunity to walk on this earth for 3 years with the Son of God himself and be taught by God what really, really matters and what truth really was. What a wonderful opportunity. What a credible witness for who Jesus was. He said, I want you to be the witness of the things which you have seen. In a court of law, you can't typically be a credible witness because you heard something. You're there because you saw it. That's the most valuable commodity there, right? It's what did you actually see, or can you provide an eyewitness account? And Paul was specifically being equipped to do just that. What else? of the things which they will see later. Acts 26:16, and of these things which I will appear unto thee. Now, when Jesus was telling Paul these things on the Damascus Road, Paul had no idea what kind of things he would face as a Christian. The suffering he would endure, the number of people that he would be instrumental in leading to Christ. Thousands. The miracles that he himself would perform through the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And now he was living out exactly what Jesus told him would come about. He was an undeniable, credible witness to the life-changing truth of who Jesus really is. And he was delivering that account to a king. And the result of that, that king quoted and is in the Bible, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The purpose of our witness was to turn others from destruction. Acts 26, verse 18, to open their eyes. Paul was called to be a witness of the life-changing truth of who Jesus is. He specifically was equipped by God Himself to be a witness of who Jesus is. How? By telling them what Jesus did for him. The only way that that happened is that he took his job, he took that Damascus Road experience and what Christ told him there, he took it seriously. And that made him effective. We, like Paul, have to believe and understand that Christ himself is equipping me and you to be a witness. Not of some dynamic miracle that you, but of the dynamic miracle that took place in your life. He doesn't expect you to be a witness of something else. He wants you to tell folks what happened in your life. You have to understand that it is the job, the purpose that Christ has given you, and act on it. You, like Paul, have to take your job seriously and do it. Continuing in verse Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Now, when Paul was on the Damascus Road, he saw that blinding light. And the result of that blinding light is that he was able to see what he never realized before. He was a diligent servant of the Jewish community and culture. And he believed he was serving God by killing Christians. He thought he was doing good. He was determined to do the best he could to serve God. He was just blind spiritually. And God gave him the Holy Spirit, brought light into the darkness of his life so that he could see really what he was doing. And when it did, it changed his life. It showed him the darkness that he was in, the sin that he was trapped and held by. He was enlightened because the Spirit had been quickened or made alive. His spirit was made quickened or made alive. He was no longer in the dark spiritually. He was there and experienced it firsthand. Second part of there, the power of Satan to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. If you don't witness, people will die, and Satan, who has them trapped in darkness, will cause them to go to eternal punishment in hell. that was prepared for him and his angels. God's design was not that we go to hell. He doesn't want anybody there. His design was to punish Satan. But they will not believe until they have a credible witness that God is real and not some child story told by people with no brains in churches. That power that Satan has over this world, he's considered the Lord of this world, right? Okay. That power is powerful. Look around us. Look at the falsehood, the false truth that people are gripping to, the traditional stands that they hold to, the things that they grip to try and bring stability to their life, and look at the destruction that it leads to. And they simply can't see it because they're blinded, because they're in darkness, and because Satan has their minds just like he had Paul's. They don't understand because they don't see the light and the power that Satan has over that to keep them from seeing the light. The purpose of turning away was to create faith in Christ. We'll go ahead and look at some more of Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Unto the power of God. Once again, from the power of Satan unto God. Paul showed them the power of God that could take him from a powerful position in the Jewish culture to a powerful evangelist that was instrumental in transferring his faith to so many. He showed them a powerful God that could not only change his life, but their life as well. A powerful God that not only changes lives, but forgives sin. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Why do people hate to be told they're sinners? Because they don't have a way to get rid of the sin. I don't want to be told that something bad is going to happen, that I have no way of escape. And the best way to do that from somebody that's lost is to deny it in the first place. It shouldn't surprise us at all that people vehemently are opposed to being told they're a sinner. Because they've got no way, there's no way for them to redeem that. We have to show them that there is a powerful God that loves them. Paul showed them there's a powerful God here. And He can take that sin away from you. He forgives sin. They saw that they could have their sins forgiven because they saw His life and the peace of God that passed all understanding. They don't understand Christians because they don't have that light yet. But they can see the peace and they desire that peace. We should be leading a peaceful life as Christians. Now, is the world in turmoil? Absolutely. Is that turmoil affecting us? Absolutely. How can we be in peace in all of this turmoil? Because we're alive, we're here, it's happening. How can we be at peace? Because we've got a God that's in control. He's powerful. He is real. He's not some storybook. He's real. Paul described himself, he had the peace of God that passes all understanding because he described himself as the chiefest of sinners. What could be worse than killing faithful Christians. That's what he did. And he was good at it. But they saw a life that was changed, and now he had a new relationship with God. It was real. It changed him. They could see it for themselves. He saw it. He was there. He took his job of being a witness seriously because he knew the purpose for his job. And last of all, verse 18 shows us, whoops, that went the wrong way. There we go. Not only that they may receive forgiveness for sins and inheritance amongst them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. They heard him talking about his relationship with Christ, the confidence that he had in his position in the family of God because he was now included in that family. He was confident because he knew he was there. And realized by your witness that that inheritance is available for them as well. Not only was it for him, but they could have it too. He told them how they could also be eligible. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And just in case you didn't get those first three, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What a great message was given to Paul, and what a great message is given to us to be able to take to this world full of so much devastation and destruction. And we've got the light that we can shine into their darkness, not because of who we are, but because of the position and the inheritance that God has given us. His purpose is the same for us. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25, our text. A trustworthy testifier recovers souls. A trustworthy testifier recovereth souls. Do you realize that God has given you a job? You're saved. You've got a job. They need to see a God. That God is real. He's powerful. He changes lives because they see the changes made in your life. You show and tell them what he saved you from. I don't know about you, but I'm not proud of what I used to be. Fortunately, I have been away from that enough that most of the people that know me don't know anything about that. Okay? There's just a couple of men in this church that remember me from back then. Okay? All the vile things that used to come out of my mouth. But God saved me out of that. He changed that. You show and tell them what he saved you from. You can do that better than anyone because you are an eyewitness to that occurrence in your life. He doesn't require you to tell about somebody else. He wants you to tell them what happened in your life. You're a firsthand witness, and you have all the credibility to tell that story. God equipped you with that story. Somebody in your life needs your story. Shine the light that God has given you into their darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is where I wanted to go with this verse. And such were some of you. Why can we be good witnesses? Because we used to be the others. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You help them realize that He can do the same for them. Of the things which they have seen. What you've seen, you can testify of. What God saved you from, and how God can save them from the same. To help them realize that He can do the same for them because He really does love them. And the only way they will see that is because you understand your purpose, and like Paul, you take it seriously. And you show them with your life that you live every day through the power of a real God that is in your life. Satan does not want you to take your job seriously because he knows you will be effective. Romans chapter 2, verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If we don't take it serious, then they won't take us serious. We have light. God has specifically equipped us with that light. And the light that you have is specific to the people that God has placed in your life. I'm getting ahead of myself. Can you tell I enjoy this lesson? His purpose is the same for us. Proverbs 14:25. A trustworthy testifier recovers souls. And the second part of this, of the things which they will see later. God has given you your testimony. The things that He's already done in your life. And like Paul, God is continuing to work in your life today. If you're saved, your relationship with God should be growing. If it's not growing, there's something wrong. I used to not realize that. I used to say, I'm serving God. I'm going to church every day. Not every day. Every time the doors are open. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday school, Wednesday. Man, I'm tithing. I'm doing good. I'm serving God. I'm even teaching a little bit. Huh? But I wasn't growing. If it is growing, it's because you're learning to listen to the Spirit of God that lives in you. That still, small voice. Like Paul, you're seeing God do things in your life that you had no idea would be possible before. Being a music director in a Baptist church for over 15 years, I'd have laughed in your face 30 years ago. Being the director of an addictions ministry, I was too busy drinking. You have seen in your life prayers answered. You have seen how God was actively become a part of your life, how you have come to trust God with more and more of your life to accomplish His will. You have seen and proven that God's Word is true and you can trust what He says in every situation. Why are these things happening? So that you can be a witness for Him. You are seeing these happen in your life, right? You have also seen that the promises of God are true and how powerful they are in the decisions that you make. And you have made some bad decisions. So you have seen that when you choose to ignore His Word and His promises, that there are consequences to be had there as well. So much so that now, consciously, you consider Him in your daily decisions because God always does what He says He will do. The people that God places in your life are not random. They are there by God's design. And they are there so that they can see God through you. Remember the two commandments of Christ? The first one is love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What was the other one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. So who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the people that God places in your life. Remember the Good Samaritan? Who was he neighbor to? The Jew that was laying in the ditch. God placed him there. He placed him there for the two people that passed him by. But he placed him there for the Samaritan as well. The Samaritan followed the principles of God. The people God places in your life, they need to see your life as a weather vane pointing straight to God. What God promises to do. To not testify is to spread falsehood. Remember? Witness true or false, right? Proverbs 14:25, bravo. But a fraudulent testifier spreads falsehoods. A faithful witness never lies. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And the second part of that, to be fake in your witness will spread deceit. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth or testifieth forth righteousness, but false witness is deceit. The Old Testament was also clear about a false witness. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18 says, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. In the Old Testament, if you were trying to bring trouble to your neighbor because you wanted something of his or you wanted to just, be mean to him, whatever it was, if they found out you were lying, whatever your goal was in taking that situation to the elders, they were supposed to turn around and put on you. They were supposed to inquire diligently as to the facts, and whatever you were trying to do was supposed to end up happening to you. Think about that. God is great. He needs you and I to tell others exactly how good He is and to live a life that draws attention to ourselves, not because we're anything special on our own, but because God is doing something special through us, drawing attention to Himself as He draws others to us. God draws people to Him by drawing attention to us so that they can see Him through us. We're not comfortable with that sometimes. We don't want to be the center of attention because typically of the sin in our lives, which means that we need to have a close relation to Him all the time. Because we give Him the credit for all that He does in our lives, but by the same standard, He does not need us to embellish and to enhance His goodness. He's good enough, and our story will be great because He is great. We don't have to add anything. He only needs us to be true and faithful witnesses. Is it time? Okay. Satan is a liar and the father of them, and if we lie about our faith, we fake about our relationship with God, even worse, we neglect to be witness. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 6 real quick here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We don't need to be deceitful. We just need to show people how God He is. His story is great enough. We don't need to add anything to it. He doesn't need our addition to His story. He just needs us to be faithful in telling that story truthfully. Everybody bow. Well, blessed Lord, we thank You so much, Father, for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what it shows us. Thank You for what it reveals about us and what it reveals about You. Father, help us to be willing to change. Help us to be willing to love You. Help us to be true, faithful witnesses for You. Help us not to help Satan out, but Lord, help us to love You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.